It's Wednesday, July 17th, AD 2019. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. The violent persecution of Christians in Burkina Faso, Africa, continues to rage on, reports FaithWire.com. On June 27th, unidentified armed men told everyone to lie down and proceeded to look for Christians by asking for first names or looking for anyone wearing Christian insignia. Within short order, 4 men were singled out because they were wearing crosses signifying their faith in Christ. They included David Zungrena, his younger brother Philippe, Theophile Wade-Drago, and Ernest Kasawaga. All 4 were taken aside and executed on the spot. As the terrorists left the village, they torched the shop that belonged to David and told Christians to convert to Islam or risk execution. These latest murders in Burkina Faso, Africa, bring the death toll of Christians killed in attacks since February to 27. The death toll in South Asia continues to rise after monsoon flooding and landslides ravaged the border region of India and Nepal, leaving 100 dead, tens of thousands displaced, and 6 million affected, reports CNN. Nepal appears the worst hit so far, with at least 78 people dead there. Aid organizations and health workers have other concerns as well. Waterborne diseases like diarrhea are known to spread in the aftermath of floods, and destroyed sewage systems could exacerbate those sanitation concerns. The number of people in Britain identifying as Christian is in, quote, dramatic decline, end quote, according to the latest figures from the British Social Attitudes Survey, reports Christian Today. The proportion identifying as Christian stands at 38%, down from 50% in 2008 and nearly two-thirds in 1983. It's the first time that the figure has fallen below 40%. Simultaneously, there has been a substantial increase in Britain in those who do not identify with any religion, up from 31% in 1983 to 52% of those polled in 2018. And the percentage of Brits identifying as Muslim grew from 1% in 1983 to 6% in 2018. With 1,000 civic and religious leaders from 100 countries around the globe gathering at the State Department this week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is hosting the second annual Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. Contrary to the concerns by some that his newly formed Commission on Unalienable Rights will only benefit Christians, Pompeo made it clear yesterday morning that religious freedom is for everyone.
All people from every place on the globe must be permitted to practice their faith openly in their homes, in their places of worship, in the public square, and believe what they want to believe.
Describing the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom, Ambassador at Large Sam Brownback said this.
This is the largest human rights event ever hosted at the State Department and the largest religious freedom event ever done in the world.
Brownback pointed to just how big of a problem the lack of religious liberty is throughout the globe.
80% of the world's population live in a religiously restrictive place. It's time, it is past time, to bring down these religious restrictions so that the iron curtain of religious persecution can come down for one and all, and it comes down now.
In the face of prideful celebrations of sexual perversion last month, there are Christians fighting back as part of the National Straight Pride Coalition. On August 24th, they're holding their first straight pride parade at Gracieta Park in Modesto, California, to celebrate God's design for marriage, sexuality, gender, and life. Melinda Mason said that straight pride is not about boasting in ourselves.
I feel like the word pride here has been hijacked by the evil one and is being used against our Creator. And so what we're saying is we're taking pride in our God Almighty, our Creator of heaven and earth, and His created order.
Psalm 44, verse 8 says, "In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." Stay tuned for a Worldview special report on why Christians need to speak out against sodomy in the public square. The Barna Group found that mothers were the main drivers of spiritual development in homes, with over two-thirds of American Christians, 68%, saying their beliefs were influenced by their mother's faith. 37% credited their grandparents with shaping their faith, and people outside the family were far less influential, with only 16% crediting someone who was not a relative. While those children are no doubt grateful to their spiritually engaged mothers, God has called Dad to be the spiritual head of the home. Ephesians 6, verse 4 is a good reminder. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And finally, last weekend, Levi Floyd, a 12-year-old boy, was vacationing with his family at North Carolina's Holden Beach. After he dove into a wave, he never resurfaced. When his family noticed he never came back, his father frantically searched through the water to find that he had gone blue and was no longer breathing, reports ChristianHeadlines.com. Despite the fact that Levi's cousin and a former Duke Life flight nurse, Derek Gibson, who was vacationing on the beach with his family, administered CPR, Levi was still not recovering. Then, his family of Christians started to sing and prayed, quote, "Jesus, please let him be okay," end quote. Derek yelled, quote, "There's a pulse," end quote. Gibson, the Duke nurse, said, quote, "That Levi is making a recovery, a full recovery, is nothing short of a miracle in my book," end quote. Job 12, verse 10 says, "In God's hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." And that's the worldview in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, July 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2019, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. No matter where an American Christian might turn, they're confronted by drag queen story hours held at taxpayer-funded libraries and government schools encouraging children that they can change their gender based on what they think they are. Don Grundman, president of National Straight Pride Coalition, told The Worldview that they're encouraging Christians to get involved in the war for biblically grounded sexuality, gender, marriage, and life.
And it's been formed because we're in essentially a cultural war, which from our view boils down to two irreconcilable opposites. One, you have Christianity, where our Creator says that He created man and woman, male and female created He them. And the opponents will say that there is no God. They can create themselves into whatever they want to be, which is what they're busy doing.
He said the attack is fierce against our children.
It comes in many cultural manifestations, such as very actively, aggressively attacking our children. The teaching them is what's called gender fluidity is one concept. Also, it's what's called transgenderism. Gender fluidity being that a person, their gender, so-called, can change throughout the day. This is a fantasy. Essentially, it's an attack against the foundations of our culture to break down the very essence of what it means to be a child.
Grundman said that this comes in the form of things like drag queen story hours at public libraries.
Those are voluntary at this moment, but we expect them to be introduced into the schools, especially, say, here in California. As time goes on, there'll be a forced teaching of that everything that they're teaching is normal, natural, and healthy. In fact, the motto of our organization is normal, natural, healthy, sane. And so we're saying that the traditional family, masculinity, femininity, babies, children, babies born and especially unborn, the spectrum of life, Christian civilization, Western culture, heterosexuality, all those are a culture of life.
He said that they want to celebrate a culture of life and not death. Mark 9, verse 42 has some pretty serious words from Jesus to those who are attempting to trip these little ones at these story hours. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." Grundman said that Christians need to get involved in this culture war because it's a prime opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus' redemption.
As Christians, we have a duty. We are spreading the gospel message to all people of all nations. We have no discrimination in that. We reach out to all races, people, colors, in defense of their ability to hear the gospel. Our opponents actively discount the gospel, to put it minimally. They're reaching out to break children at the earliest, youngest possible ages in order to crush them psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, especially spiritually. So where the gospel message will be blunted by their being attacked with this propaganda that all things sick are normal.
He said that this is a fight for children's souls, Thank God that Jesus Christ will always win the ultimate war. Let us remember that this battle is not against flesh and blood.
I believe we have to stand up just to be able to have children to be able to hear the gospel at the earliest age as compared to the anti-gospel, which our opponents are spreading. It is a message of love that we have that we're spreading and trying to stop this soul pathology. It is an attack on the souls of children. And I believe Christians have a duty to defend the children of the nation.
Grundman warned that there is beginning to be more fierce persecution against those who stand up for God's definition of these things.
Ministers are being arrested, such as a protesting drag queen story hour in Spokane, Washington. There was a minister who was arrested just standing on a public sidewalk because he got in the way of the machinery, what I'll call the war machinery, of our opponents. So we're increasingly seeing Christianity criminalized in its expression. And that's because I believe the Christians have stood back and they've let the field of politics be open to our opponents, who are busy doing everything they possibly can at every minute to poison the next generation of children, so that when we reach out to them with the gospel, they'll already have been taken from us. So we might be able to get them back.
Christians, take heart in this battle through the words of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. We have weapons on our side that the other side does not possess. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Grundman addressed the accusation of Christians being called, quote-unquote, haters for opposing sexual relationships that God defines as sin.
In what's called social engineering, we're all being trained that if we have any opposition to what I'll call the homosexual sodomy movement, we're automatically what are called haters, homophobic and such things. Homophobic, a term which does not exist in reality. In reality, when we oppose these lifestyles, we are actually showing Christian love, because we're the only people who will tell these people the truth. Any of your listeners, any Christian who tries to do that, will of course get a figurative flame thrown at them, because they'll be called hater and bigot and fill in the blank.
He reminded Christians that the gospel is the only truth that can bring people from darkness to light, from chains to freedom.
The gospel message is the only message of love which can bring these people from damnation, essentially. It's the only, I'll call it the antidote. Individual Christians, when they expose these practices, when they go up to Joe and Jane homosexual and say, no, Joe, you are not homosexual. You are that way because homosexuality is not genetic, like our opponents claim. It is not a physical genetics. It is a spiritual genetics.
1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11 reminds us of those spiritual genetics and how they can be changed. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Grundman said that we need to bring the message of reconciliation to God, the true love of God the Father, through sending His Son for sinners.
And now they're broken away from the Creator, so we come back with an alternative message, the only message which will bring true love to them, to say that, no, you've been poisoned in your spirit, you are not a homosexual, lesbian, fill in the blank. But the only solution is a spiritual soul solution. And Christianity has that. Christ has that. And so we are speaking out in love to bring these people from a culture of death.
Learn more at their website, nationalstraightpridecoalition.org. May the Lord call many repentant sinners to Himself through this culture war. As Jesus said, He came for this very reason in Luke 5, verse 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.
This edition of the Generations Radio Program originally aired in 2011. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.